Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 1st, 2018. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And in an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And I just thought about this at the other program. You know, lately, and you probably, by the way, my wife's on here with me tonight, so that's what I'm talking to. You might have experienced this lately. You know, I get so many calls that aren't anybody. They're just businesses trying to sell this and everything, and I'm on like, do not call this, and it's because I guess I'm told that we give out numbers on the internet, and so that has in small print that makes it where they can call you. Having said that, so what I'm saying to the people is this. So if you have a smartphone and you're calling me on a smartphone, you know, you might just text me your number and say, hey, you need a prayer, and text it to me, because then I know you're a human being and not some ant, something trying to con me into sell something, because realistically, I've started almost ignoring some of the phone calls that I get to my cell phone, because I answer like two or three in a row that are just garbage. And so maybe
that reminds me of a situation.
Maybe the next, maybe the next one that calls we'll get into that in a minute. We haven't even given the introduction yet. It's not time for you to start telling stories.
Okay.
Anyway, you can find the updates with the. I did give out the phone number, didn't I? Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
316-619-4886. Okay. Boy, folks, this is really trying. This is tough. Anyway, you can find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Ministry Church, Mission Church, just about everything in our ministry hub. There's links to everything over there at prophecyhour.com. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube right now, and, of course, it archives there later, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. We're only on the airtime by your blessing, and, oh, it's the first. Airtime is due again today. On another note, let's thank our listener bases. Places like, can you read that?
Oslo, Norway. Dublin, Colorado, Fingal, England.
Ireland.
Sofia, Bulgaria. Tehran, Iran. Lagos, Nigeria.
Yeah. And, of course, cities in the good old USA, such as?
Fort Worth, Texas, Kansas City, Missouri, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Portland, Oregon, San Diego, California. USA.
Well, you know, you said those so well, and the foreign ones not so much. You must be from the United States.
You think?
Maybe. Anyway, these are just to name a few of course, folks. Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners to our programs, at least when they podcast later on tonight. And like I say, right now we're on live radio, and it is being live streamed on the internet, but right now I have no way of knowing how many people are listening. Also, follow and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brant77. Share us around up there, because I'm trying to get, I've noticed the more followers that I get on Twitter, the more followers or people that come and listen to radio. And radio is where we want them to be. Anyway, prayer first, and then we'll talk. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will nor my wife's will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight, folks, I told you I was going to start having her on every other week. And so far, the stats, the podcast stats, haven't dropped. So I guess they're enjoying having my wife on.
It's been said I'm a regular regular.
You're a regular regular? That sounds like you must... Oh, she read it off the screen. Frank said that.
You've got to tell on everybody, don't you?
Well, I'm telling on you because you tell on me all the time.
When me told on you, told on who said what I what was a regular regular.
Okay, now they don't understand any of this. Let's go to something. Let's back
okay,
up.
Okay, I want
what
to tell my story.
Oh, tell the story. Whatever it is, we're probably in trouble, but go ahead.
No, I'll try and make it short. Okay, I took my son and my four grandkids to the eye doctor, and when we left, I was going to take them to get an ice cream. So we went to Dairy Queen. Well, that was didn't turn out too good. They wanted $12 for four ice creams, so... We walked out and went to McDonald's. Well, when we turned the corner to go to McDonald's, I noticed there was a heavyset person on the sidewalk, sitting on the sidewalk, just sitting there. And I looked over there, and they was frantically waving their arms around, trying to get me to come over there. So I whipped a U-ey right in the middle of Central downtown El Dorado, and pulled right up to the curb, and the face was all bloody. And I thought it was a man, but it was a woman. And my son jumped out and said, "Are you okay?" And she's like all bloody. And what she was doing is walking too. She got to going too fast, and she went head first, hit the concrete, broke her glasses right in the middle and broke her nose. Well, we barely got her up in the truck, and I took her to the, I said, "Do you got anybody?" She said, "No, but I got a medical card." So I said, "Well, come on, I'll take you to the emergency room, then I'll take my son home to Florence, which is 30 miles, and I'll come back and get you and take you home since you don't have a ride or anything. And I don't want to call an ambulance and cause all that, and you have no way to get home from the hospital." She said, "Okay." So I told the emergency room, "This lady fell on the sidewalk. I've got to take my kids to Florida. Right. I'll come back and get her." Well, to make a long story short, I got her home. I'm trying to make it short, but there's a lot to it. I got her home and got her all snug in her house. And, well, when we pulled in the driveway, I just, my doors have automatic locks on them. And I never leave the keys in them because always lock yourself out of your vehicle.
Yeah.
Okay, so I always take my keys out. But when I shut the truck off, she was ready to get home. She had the door open, and I seen her in my vision. I seen her falling into the gravel. So I just turned the truck out, jumped out, and ran around and got there just in time when she fell out of the truck. And I caught her. I said, "I told you to wait on me." But anyway, when she came down out of the truck, her arm hit the doorknob on the passenger side door and locked the truck, which I didn't know. I helped her in the house, shut the door, helped her in the house.
Right.
Got ready to go, and she said her glasses were broken. I said, "Well, let me run down to the dollar store because I had a class at the Y. I had 10 minutes to get to the class." I said, "Oh, I got time. I'll be a few minutes late. I'll run down and get you some super glue." I went to get my truck, and the doors were locked. My purse, my phone, my keys, everything was in my truck. No way to call anybody. So I went back and knocked on her door, and I said, "I need to use your phone." She says, "I don't have a phone." I said, "Do you have a cell phone?" "No, I don't have any kind of phone."
Really?
I'm like, "Oh, no, what am I going to do?" And I don't know anybody's phone numbers. I can't remember phone numbers anymore. I'm too young for that. But anyway, everybody's on speed dial. And my phone, the only number I know is your phone, 316-619-4886, and the house phone. So I knocked on the neighbor's door, which was her landlord, and they were older folks. It was like 5 o'clock, just getting dark. It was 5:30, it was just getting dark, and they was already dressed for bed and everything. I said, "I locked myself out of my truck. I need to call." I didn't even know AAA's phone number. I called your phone, the house phone. Nobody answered, nothing. I'm sitting there crying my eyes out. Couldn't find AAA's phone number anyway. And I said, "Well, if I had my smartphone, I could look it up on my smartphone." And he had a laptop, so he looked it up. The 800 number wasn't even up on the website that he pulled up. And I'm like, "Okay, devil, this is not working. I need to get all the AAA. They can come get me in my truck. I already missed my class now. It's been an hour. Please let me you know, get home safe. And so they finally, I finally got AAA out there. And then right after I got my truck unlocked, you called me. I'm like, oh, gee.
So the point, what was
the point of the matter is, answer your phone to numbers you don't know, because I called you from the man's cell phone and you didn't recognize the number, so you didn't answer the call.
Right.
And I thought you was on radio, but it was Monday.
Yeah, well, you think I'm on radio a lot when I'm not. Anyway, but that's the art of being over here, which can't bother me. Anyway, no, joking. Absolutely. So, folks, that's why sometimes I don't answer my cell phone simply because I get two or three calls and they're all somebody trying to sell me something. And, you know, it's natural. I bet you do the same thing. You get frustrated and you don't answer the next one up. But anyway, so if you sent me a text with your phone number, say, hey, Pastor Dan, I need a prayer, anything. Put your phone number, I'll call you back. Okay.
I got a solution for that for you. I answer all mine if I hear my phone. On those kind of phone calls, when you say hello, there's a little break between. You have to say hello twice, but if you have to say it twice, don't say it twice. Say hello. If they don't answer, hang up. That's what I do to them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, if I answer, I usually wait long enough to see who it is, of course. But anyway, moving right along, I don't want to spend the whole program on...
talking about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have other things to talk about. At least I thought I did before I got all that. Anyway, moving right along. I was going to ask you about something, but you started to relate a story. Well, you did relate a story to me the other day, because I always ask you, you know, what happened at the mission church. And, you know, I rather do it now than later. I think it's miraculous how we get things, and you know, we always wonder who's going to get them and all those things. But you had an experience this week where, we'll just call it the shoes.
Okay. We got the storage shed, okay. And Pastor Dan on last Friday got a call from one of an old church members that used to come to our church, but now he cleans real estate properties and stuff for landlords when they evict their people out of their houses. Well, he had a house that he had to clean out that day, and he had a bedroom set and a refrigerator and a bunch of other stuff that they didn't have time to do anything because it was going to start raining and getting bad, and he just had to throw everything in the shed. Okay, so what he couldn't bring home that day went into the shed, and I was cleaning it out, putting it into the clothes room. Me and Pam and Mike were, and I seen that size 11 shoes. Well, larger shoes, anything that's above 10, and sometimes the 10s, depending on how good of shoes they are, we'll set them aside because we always know somebody's going to come and ask for a pair of shoes. It's just a feeling, and every time we have that feeling, somebody shows up. So anyways, there was a really nice high-dollar pair of shoes. They were really nice-looking tennis shoes. I told Mike, I said, I'm going to set these over here in the back and leave them out here because I know somebody's going to come and ask for them. And he said, oh, okay. Well, later on that day, it was only like about 30, 45 minutes later, we was getting ready to serve dinner, and a gentleman come in the back door with just socks on his feet. And he says, hey, you wouldn't happen to have a pair of size 10 and a half shoes of any kind, just any kind will fit my feet. And I said, well, what size you wear? He said, 10 and a half. I said, well, I happen to have a size 11 tennis shoe. He goes, that'll work. So I went out to the shed, and I brought them in. He put them on, and they fit perfect.
Yeah, amen. Who's Mike and Pam?
They're an older couple that come and help do work, whatever needs to be done. They do it all. Mike is the one that painted the building sign for the building that we need to get hung up, which we're still waiting on the plexiglass to put that on the building. But
right.
He did that touch-up work on...
Okay, let me explain a couple things to them.
Yeah, I'm way ahead.
Yeah, do you see how fast she talks, folks? You know,
Sometimes
I feel like just saying, breathe. No. Anyway, Mike and Pam, yeah, they're an older couple that come and help. They're Messianic in faith, and they're really a good couple. And they really do a good work. She takes care of the closet, and we'll sweep them off the floor, and so it's a real blessing. They do
break the leaves. They do it all.
Right. But anyway, moving on from that. So we, when we first moved in to the Mission Church, we got we had a sign painted, and the sign that was painted on the side of the building, it was actually... It's a really nice sign. It was our logo, but it was painted with oil paints, you know, like, artist paints, oil paints, and so it really didn't last very long. That oil paints aren't meant to stand up and wear.
Outside.
No, they're not. They're meant for a painting like Leonardo da Vinci, you know.
Right. And it was on the outside of the building, so, yeah.
Right, so it deteriorated over the years. And but anyway, so Mike said he used to sign paint, and he painted us a new sign. Well, he got it completed, and so he was all ready to hang it up, and I said, no, you got to put it in the shed. You have to tell him the whole story. You know the story. Anyway, so I put it into Mom's shed that she got about, what was it, 2 years now, ain't it?
Has it been 2 years? I thought
yeah,
we just
last
got it
summer,
last year.
Was just, no, it was just, was it last year? Yeah,
yeah
we got it.
Last
okay,
year.
We got it last year. Okay, anyway, so we put it in the shed. And Mike came and he said, well, you know, why don't you have, you know, you want to put it up? I said, well, I'd love to put it up, but while we've never, ever been vandalized and never had anybody deface anything, the part of town we're in is really rough, folks.
Except the front of the building.
I'll go to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, we've never really had any problems with any defacements or anything. And, and that includes the front of the building. I know what she's talking about. I'll explain it. But anyway, so we've never had any problems worrying about our signs or anything like that. But then there's these children that moved in across the street that are completely out of hand. And they even busted a window out on the bus with bricks that they were throwing at the bus. And the police, I did finally after they broke it. One window got broke out, and that wasn't the kids. But anyway, they broke out a back window and a side window, and so I called the police, and the police told me that about this gang of kids, that they were uncontrollable. They were trying to catch them in the act of doing things, but, you know, they basically had parents that weren't engaged. And so, you know, these are children without supervision. And so I didn't want to put the brand new sign up there. I figured if I put that sign up there, they live right across the street. They'll think Target, and
spray paint it.
And they'll spray paint it or something, you know. And as for that front part of the building, yeah, we had a couple of words painted on the very corner of it. They were mad at the people next door.
Yeah, because they had an arrow growing through that.
Yeah,
and
right,
they
which
it
I
on
won't
our...
say what it said, but.
Yeah.
It was pointing to the prostitutes, basically, that lived next door. But, you know, we scrubbed that off. But, you know, that wasn't something against us. It was something against the people next door. But,
right.
But my point is this. So we haven't put our new sign up, which says Wichita Mission Church. Really beautiful sign, because I want to put a piece of plexiglass over it. Well, I haven't had $100 to get the extra piece, to get the piece of plexiglass. That's not saying that we haven't had $100 come through the ministry. It's just that. You know, if $100 came today, what would you do with it?
Bills.
Okay, but beyond bills, what else has got to stand out?
You got to buy all the stuff for the mission.
Like what?
The food to feed, the sandwich, all the food to feed both all day. We do sandwiches from 1 to 3. Got to have bread, eggs.
You put anything
oil,
on those sandwiches?
Spray,
you put anything
mustard,
on those?
Mustard, ketchup, mayonnaise. You got to have all that. And you got to have styrofoam cups. You got to have napkins. You got to have plates. You got to have silverware. You got to have on.
Yeah.
Tea, coffee, blah, blah, blah. Sugar,
so,
cream.
Okay, let me ask you this. So is there such thing as $100 extra?
I like to see that.
Well, I guess to be extra, that would mean everything else in the world would have to be paid, huh?
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, with me, it's kind of like, you know, when I've got something that's different, I weigh out everything that's around me, and, there's an order, quick, grab it.
Yeah, because Mom says once the bill's paid, the mail's run.
What do you mean by that?
Bills are never paid, because you pay it, and the same day you get the same bill that's due for the next month. It doesn't matter. It always happens that way.
Right, because, needless to say, we don't have enough ahead to pay the second. We get the bill. So.
No, most of mine double. The other way.
Yeah. Amen. So that makes sense. So anyway, going back to that, that's why sometimes, like this. And if somebody wants to help out with that, if they want to give me a $100 donation or give the church a $100 donation for the plexiglass, then you have to say, if you say, this is for the plexiglass, then that's how I will get spent on it.
Right.
You know, that's
what.
If there's no notation to say use it for this, we just pay what we just use it for what is needed at that second.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's an electric bill or whether it's a, you know, what we're gonna buy 10 dozen eggs at a time.
But if it's specified for what it's supposed, that's what it goes.
Yeah. No matter what, that's where it would go.
It doesn't matter if it's needed worse for something else. If it's specified for a specific, like, say, if I had a bill that was due that day that was $30, and $30 came in the mail, and somebody asked me for $30, and the Lord put it on my heart that they needed the $30, they would get the $30 before I paid the bill.
Right. Right, absolutely.
That's what we're for, is to help the poor.
Well, so you're trying to tell me you're winning the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit?
Oh.
Imagine that. What's that mean?
That means that... you just led by faith, led by the Spirit. You just do it, knowing that it's going to be there, even when it isn't.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to do. An example of that would be gas, eighth of a tank of gas, and 120 miles to go, which means you have to go to Wichita and back on an eighth of a tank. You're barely going to get there on that eighth of a tank. How are you going to get home? Where are you going to go? And when you get there, the Lord's going to give you the money to get back home, because it happens every time, and we did it. Maybe not a million times, but a whole bunch of times.
Right. Well, let's go with this. And being led by the Spirit, everyone, it's not a separate thing, as some people might tell you. If you are truly saved, you have what's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit, if you allow it, will lead you into doing things. And so being led by the Spirit, you know, even the Bible says people that are led by the Spirit, you know, they're like crazy people in a sense, because they'll go any way which way the wind blows them. And it's because of that, you know, you get an urgency, you know, you get an unction, you know, some people call it an unction from the Lord, is that, you know, you'll be ready to do something with your money, and then something else comes up and you feel like that's what you just immediately change your mind and you do that. That's because you were led by the Spirit, and you're blessed for it by doing that. Anyway.
So then back to the old saying my mom used to say, go by your first instinct, is not necessarily true?
We'll talk about that when we come back. We're coming up on a break time. Folks, you can check out WichitaHomeless.com, WichitaHomeless.com. But if you go to ProphecyHour.com, you will find out that there's a big link on the side to go to that, just like there's a link to go everywhere from that website. But you know how it is. We're radio, live radio, in fact, so we're going to have to take a 3-minute break, and we'll be right back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And it is every other week, and so that means it's the week that I'm talking with my wife. And no, I'm not going to go into, we're going to get right back with the program and talk about a few things. And, you know, I brought her on that we get a female's point of view on things, let alone a godly female. I know you're still sitting here with us. Say hello again to the people.
Hello, people.
Well, you just said what I said.
Again.
Okay. All right. Let me give a few facts, and then I'll tell you it's your turn to talk. Okay. Let's go with this. You know, in April 2011, the Williams Institute estimated that 3.8% of Americans identified as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. 1.7% is lesbian or gay, 1.8% is bisexual, and 0.03% as transgender. Now, I didn't get all the new stats, but I did get one, find one in 2016 that estimated that 0.06 of U.S. adults identify as transgender. Now, folks, that's 5 years difference, and in 5 years from 2011 to 2016, it came up. It doubled, but it's still such a low number. The left, which is consists of, and we can look at a map here, and I'm going to pull this up so my wife can get an idea. The left mostly are on the coast. Now we have the leftists and Democrats all over the United States, and not all Democrats are in agreement with, you know, gay, lesbian, and so on and so forth. But for the most part, they are. They're leftists. But the dark one, I'm going to say right. This to my wife, these dark ones are the most dense part of the population that believes in those things. The lighter you get, the less. Okay.
Right.
So that way she can see it. All right. Anyway, having said that, so we have the leftists on that own the media. That's who owns the media, is the leftists. Okay, with the leftists owning the media, they are on both coasts, like New York and Hollywood. That's where most of the movies and all of the media comes from, is from New York, you know, basically New York, Chicago, New York, Hollywood, California, West Coast, so East West Coast. They try to get us to believe all these facts. In fact, they call us people like here in Kansas and the states in between, flyover states. You know, in other words, we're useless. We're just flyover states. That's why they talk so bad about us. They act like we don't even exist. And they are so culturally different that they believe those things. But, so, it has been the job of Hollywood and these, Hollywood and, like I say, the studios in New York, they want to put off what they believe in the movies. And so they want you to believe that these statistics that we just talked about that are so very, very low, they want you to think that it's more commonplace. So they put it in their sitcoms, you know, like, you know, how hard is it to find a TV program that doesn't have a gay person in it, Mom?
Very hard. They put them in almost all movies now. It's just disgusting. You'll be watching a really good movie and then they have to put a scene in there with a man kissing a man or a woman kissing a woman. It's disgusting.
Right, absolutely. But looking at these stats, would you consider that anywhere being normal?
No.
No, of course not. We're talking about, in 2011, less than 3.8% was all of them together, not just homosexual. So, you know, I heard the stat was mostly right now was closer to 7%. So we're talking about under 10% of the whole population of the United States being one of these transgender, gay, whatever. That is not normal. In any way, shape, or form, that's not normal. But if you look at the news media or you look at the, you know, better than the news media, well, not better, worse. If you look at the news media, or not the news media, repent. If you look at Hollywood movies or New York movies, whatever, you know, broadcast TV, cable, all that, they try to make you think that it's normal because they have them in every set.
Well, they not only are that, they are presenting it to our children in schools. They're presenting it to children in all their TV shows, all their kids' shows. They're presenting it as like it's normal to our kids to teach them from little kindergarten on up that it's normal. So if they're taught that from age 5, they're going to think that that's the way the world's, you know, that's the way God wants it to be. Because
right.
People don't read the word anymore. They go by what men say, and that's what they're saying, and that's what they're showing in the movies. And kids really think that when they watch their shows, like Frozen or, you know, Cars, they think that stuff's real.
Okay, well, let's go with this. You know, when I was, folks, when I was young, I grew up, I cut my teeth when I was, you know, before school age. I used to watch things like, you know, a lot of cowboy stuff that was on all the time, the Lone Ranger, you
right.
know, and Sky King and all these people. And, you know, the people on TV then did promote good values. You know, it's like Matt Dillon, you know, everybody knows he had the woman Katie, but he never even once kissed her in the movies. You know, he never stayed at her house. He never hung his hat up at her house. He never, but he knew they had a romance, but, you know, you understand they never showed it on
right.
TV. That's how far off
it was. Private in the bedroom where it's supposed to be.
Right, and if they did go to a bedroom shot on old TV, it would always, they might show them looking at each other and it'd fade off.
Right, and to another scene.
Right, and it'd go to another scene. So, and that's fine. There was no reason to see then what we should be for a couple. You know,
right.
But let's go with this, folks. Here's one, and this is really damaging, and I'm going to let my wife talk about it as soon as I put it in a way that I want to. This really hurts because, and I'll let you explain why it hurts because of something personal, a person.
Right.
Okay. Here's a headline. Elsa, coming out as a lesbian, Disney's Frozen 2 could showcase an LGBTQ couple. Speculation is rising about what's next, or better yet, who's next in the life of Queen Elsa from Disney's 2013 animated film Frozen. A sequel to the hit is set to release in November 2019. And now, an interview with the film's writer and co-director praises the possibility that Elsa could be getting a girlfriend. Now, I'm not going to keep reading this whole page, but it basically boils down to is that somebody brought this up. Their fan base, a lot of people wrote in and gay people and things said it would be really, really cool to do that. And so now they are really strongly that's what's going to happen. So now this program is meant for children, you know, young children, really young children that are impressionable. You know, just like I wanted to, and I still have that in my system. I always want to be the hero. You know, I want to bail people out of things. I want to open doors for women. That's something that embedded in me a lot from my upbringing because I didn't have a dad. He got hurt when I was very young, but it was my upbringing of looking to those positive programs that showed me how a man should act and
right.
so on. So I can tell you firsthand that's how. You know, children are impressionable. It's put in them. In fact, we go into something else for that later. But so somebody that you brought up today when I brought this up to you, you have the floor.
My granddaughter Harley, which is 5 years old, and that's the example I used a minute ago, was a five-year-old. But she really loves Frozen. Watch that movie over and over and over and over. And if they do that to Elsa, that's really not going to be good.
Well, will that, do you think that, I mean, so she tries to, they try to dress up like the movie and stuff, don't they?
Oh, they do, yeah. They got the Frozen, they try to get shirts and they like T-shirts and everything, backpacks, everything Frozen.
Right, but they play out the movie, so to speak.
Yeah,
her
yeah.
And we're talking about my other
Nana and Harley. Yeah, they play Elsa and what's the other one's name?
Well, there's Elsa and Elsa's the queen, and then there's the other one.
The blonde, and then there's the redhead.
But it
doesn't matter what their names are.
That doesn't matter.
But, yeah.
but they do emulate the movie.
Right. They sing the song and they dance the song. Yeah, it's one of their favorites. And I'm reading a little into this, and it says that they're including. Frozen 2 would join other recent Disney creations and have received attention for being pro-LGBTQ, including the remake of Beauty and the Beast in 2017 and the introduction of a lesbian character of the Disney cartoon Doc McStuffins, which is another one of Harley's favorites, and then finding issues also with Finding Dora. Which is another one of her cartoons. They're ruining all of them. That's just like they did with the boys. They made one of their favorite ones, and I can't remember who is it they made.
Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Oh, I can't think of. I told you the other day it was the man. They made one of the man ones gay.
Wolverine, the new Wolverine.
The Wolverine, they made him gay, and then they did something with Superman, and they made something with.
It doesn't matter.
Captain America. They're ruining all of them.
Well, okay, we say room. So they're trying to make you. They will make the population that way. You know, even the institutions. You know, this. Are starting to call these behaviors normal, where transgender used to be a disorder that was a gender disorder. You know, they considered it, you know,
a mental illness.
Well, but right now, but liberals, that college professors are the ones they go to get information and they're changing the medical books. Where now they come out and say, well, it's normal. That's what they teach. That's what any unless it's a Christian-based place, that's really Christian-based place. If you ask any psychiatrist's office or any doctor's office, they put out what they're told, and they're told now that it's all normal.
Normal.
And it's not. If it was normal, it wouldn't be under 7% of the population. It's not normal. If it was normal, it would be more than 7%.
Well, I got more to say about that. If it was normal, then the Lord wouldn't say it was an abomination. He's not a liar.
Okay, well, let me point this out to the people. In Leviticus 18:22, it says, it's an abomination for a man to lie with a male as it is with a woman. Now, if you are stupid out there, and I know you're not, and you can clearly see that it says, you know, man trying to have sex with another man like he does his wife, and you know what that means. You know, that means being gay. If you're like that, it's an abomination. And also, let's go with this one. Deuteronomy 22:5 says, and for women to, and men to wear another's clothing is an abomination. And so it's an abomination for men and women to wear one another's clothing. And so that takes care of transgenderism. That takes care of homosexuality.
Drag queens, the whole nine yards.
Right. So, is it normal? No, it's not. So, if you embrace these things, okay, so why is, you know, you say, well, that's that young generation. Why is that young generation embracing things like that? Why is the millennials embracing that?
That's what they're being taught. So, why wouldn't they embrace it?
It's to a point of being taught. But the bigger problem is they're not being taught.
The right way.
There you go. It's like this. You know, look, the 23rd Psalm, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me behind still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of what? Righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. Okay, here's the point. We, as a saved individual, you have that indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is leading you, and the Lord is your shepherd. So therefore, he and his word controls your thought and your mind. You're led. So we are supposed to be led. As the word says, we're supposed to do what? What does it say about teaching children?
The women are supposed to stay home and teach the children. That's what's wrong with the children.
Okay, so we don't have, and I'm not picking on women for working because it's the way society ended up, but it is the problem because you, in a normal right environment, you have a shepherd over, which is a more important job than working. Because
it's a more harder one.
You have a woman in the home teaching the man's gone, is supposed to be gone to work, as the word says, and then the women are there teaching the child. They're teaching right and wrong and are supposed to also be giving them biblical values. That's who a woman's supposed to teach. People say women aren't supposed to teach. That isn't what it says. They're supposed to teach what they're supposed to, and it's the children that you're supposed to teach. And other women to be like you, so your household. What's it say? If you go to the last proverb, then and you read about the woman, it's the one we read in church every week, about when we get ready to bless the women. You know, women, if you read what it says about the household is run by the women. Everything is great because of what? Because of what the woman does for the household. So the Bible's even real specific about how, you know, if your woman's amiss, your whole household's going to be amiss.
Right.
But if your woman's right, the whole household's going to be blessed, you know, and everybody else around. And that describes you perfectly, because everybody in our family's blessed and the church is blessed. And it's blessed due to your attitudes and the heart and the love that you're able to put into it. And, of course, I get a little credit, but, you know. Anyway, moving right along. So, but here's my point. These children now they're not being shepherded. You know, they're just running wild. They're doing crazy.
Playing games.
When there's an people are supposed to be taught by other people. They're supposed to be led by God. So when you remove
God, what do you get? What's going on?
What was we talking about?
Everything that's going on in the world is because there's no God in it.
Well, so they're being nurtured by what? They're being nurtured by the TV that's putting off corrupt values, and YouTube that, you know, corrupt most. I mean, there is some godly things out there on it, but most predominantly, it's more wrong than it is right.
Well, the games are nothing but murder, kill, and all that stuff, so that's corruption too.
Right, it is teaching those things.
Why are we having so many shootings? It's because
that's part of it. I don't want to get into that. It's too big long of a path. Let's cut that part off.
Right.
I mean, we'll do a whole program on it because it'll take me an hour to explain some things that are going on with it. But I'm not in disagreement with you. It's just too big of a rabbit trail to go down.
Right.
But the point is they're being shepherded by things that aren't right.
You get in, you get back out what you put in.
Right.
So if it's not getting put in, you can't get it put out. What they're getting put in is all this stuff, garbage about how it's okay to be that way. Or if you feel that you're a man in a woman's body, then that's what you are. It's okay, honey. No, it's not okay. You have a mental disorder. You need to get help. It's not okay. You are what the Lord made you, not what you think you are.
Right. Now, here's another one that I'm going to pop on you. 27% of Californians youth ages 12 to 17 are gender nonconforming. Now, let me explain what, don't look at that, look at me. That means that they are trying not to identify as neither male nor female, or they're identifying as something, may not be gay, but they just don't want to dress like a female. And it's a little different than transgenderism, but it's about basically the same thing. But 27% of kids in California don't want to be either one. They don't want to be male or female. They're gender neutral.
You just struck a note. Remember I told you today I watched Tucker Carlson this morning on my laptop?
Yeah.
He had a woman on there.
This really gets
into my blood. He had a woman on there, and I don't know who she was. She was saying that Webster's dictionary keeps adding all new words to the dictionary, and if who makes these decisions to change words, add words, take words out, and all this. She wants to change a word. She doesn't want to be called a woman because man is in that word. She doesn't want to be called that. So Tucker said, well, what do you want to be called? She said she wanted to be called a person. Well, honey, don't you realize that in person there's a sign in there, and sign is a male, so you're not getting anywhere by changing woman to person, you know? And I got, somebody made that comment on the comment line, so that's not mine. I just read it on a comment line. But really, she wants to take and be called a person, not woman, because man's in the word. Sign is in person, and he's a male, so what's the difference? She's not getting any accomplishment by that, but that's the same thing.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. So shouldn't we just embrace her and say, oh, we love you, and just accept that?
No. Male, female.
Okay, but let's go to this word. Let's go to this word. I got a few minutes.
And that's what Bubba pointed out. There's male and female. Well, she want to get rid of female, too?
Okay. Well, actually, this group of people do want to get... Here's what they want rid of. They just want to be a person. They don't want to identify as either male nor female. That's the point that I was pointing to. They don't want to be identified as male or female. They just want to be gender neutral. In other words, you know, have nothing. But let's go like this. We're talking about Christians a minute. Now, if you're a Christian, you cannot accept this. The Father made Adam, and he made Eve. He called her a woman because she came out of a man. So man, we're both human beings, but men were first, mankind. When I say mankind, guess what, women? That means you too.
Right.
That means mankind. And we're all made in God's image, but the point is so woman came out of man, and that's how she was made and created, to be a helpmate for the man, which I am thoroughly believe that it's, I don't know how single people make it. I don't know how you guys make it. I couldn't, after experiencing the experience that I have with you for the last 32 or 33 years, whatever it is.
And our 33, but yeah.
We'll okay. I don't, you know, the things that I do don't function well without you. You know what I mean? It's just embedded that way. It just doesn't work. And that's the way God the Father meant it to be, was that man and woman would come together. Okay, well, now, folks, we'll talk about a lot of things. If you've got some subjects that you'd like to see us talk about, send us an email or something and let us know. And I will even post the Wichita Mission Church Facebook page today. So Mission Church. Now, I usually talk about it at break time, and we kind of talk about it all the way through. But how are we doing? What do we need, you know?
Same thing, everything. We need it all. We need paper. Right now we're out of cups. We need cups. We need eggs. We don't have eggs. We're having biscuits and gravy tomorrow because we don't have eggs.
Don't have eggs.
And we don't have bread for the eggs, so we're having biscuits and gravy because I get the donuts, I get biscuits too, and I save them until I get enough to do biscuits and gravy, and it usually works out. Anyway, yes, so we need plates, cups, salt and pepper, coffee, tea, and we are out of tea at church too. Sugar, cream, vegetables. I do got a little bit of meat stocked up because I got a sale last month, but any kind of meat, I never turn down any kind of donation. Let's put it like this, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to donate, that's what we need.
Right, right. So here, okay, let's go back. Let's backtrack. How many eggs we go through, sandwiches we go through a day?
We've been going through 11 to 15 dozen every Tuesday and every Friday.
11.
So 30, up to 30 dozen. Oh, and if I don't use them to cook, I can use up to 32 dozen a week. A week.
Right. 32 dozen eggs a week or 40, you know. So, folks, now you can send money to donate for that. You can say, hey, this is for food or whatever, or just send a donation. But if you live in Wichita, off and on, there's lots of sales. Excuse me. You see a sale on eggs, we have a walk-in cooler. Buy a bunch of them and just bring them by, you know. And,
yeah, we've had up to 120 dozen at one time, and it seems like they just go faster.
Everything goes faster.
Seems like every time I stock something or think I'm above everything, I go back, we're out of this, we're out of that, we're out of this. Every time I walk in the door, I have them telling me we're out of at least two or three or four different things. I don't have money. Okay, we'll do what we got with what we got today.
Then
we're going to provide.
I bring Ted and Craig both in the room, and I say, okay, now we're not going to play this game. I've been giving you both 5 minutes or so to go over everything, and I'll be back out of the office in a minute. I want to know what you're out of, because they have a habit of saying, oh, this is all we need, and you go to the store to get some salt, say, you know.
And then you get back and they need
pepper. And they needed pepper. You need pepper. Well, why didn't you tell me while I was at the store? You know, and so then I got to run again. But, folks, we could really get your help. And let us know how you enjoy the program, because we are fixing to go do videos of this every week. And like I say, I enjoy having my wife on. If you enjoy hearing her and be on it, send us an email. Let us know.
New newsletter's going out next week, so we should be getting a new newsletter out.
Okay.
And
well,
the problem, I want to mention that, too, for those of you that get the newsletter, the mailing list has been messed up. It got messed up a few years back, and we had somebody that was trying to fix it. Well, she tried to fix it, and it got even more messed up. So we had somebody else try to fix it, and he tried to fix it, and it got all even more messed up. So guess what? I'm taking all three mailing lists, and I'm making a mailing list.
Okay, well, just you need to say goodbye to them.
Goodbye, people.
All right. Folks, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And remember, if you don't wish to help or consider a donation for radio airtime, you listen to radio all the time, you're listening to us now, airtime isn't free. The only way we, because we sell nothing, the only way we have to pay it is by your kind donation. Now, we must remember there is only one God, and he is your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after, what, 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. And speaking of which, Passover's coming. That will be
March 31st.
March 31st, which means dark starts at dark on the 30th. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.